Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. Kevin Durant will not be in for Game 1 of the Western Finals versus the Blazers. KD's going to be forced to miss Game 1 versus Portland in Oaktown due to that nagging calf strain injury. Durant's going to be reevaluated this Thursday, making a return for Game 2, also doubtful. So bad news for the Golden State Warriors. Golden State will learn to lean on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in Durant's absence. Curry scoring all of his 33 points in the second half of Game 6 Friday night in Houston. Durant averaging 34.2 points in 39 minutes of action so far in the postseason, an absolute monster. The Warriors are making their fifth straight conference finals appearance, while Portland, they're advancing to the Western Final for the first time since 2000. It will also feature the first ever brothers squaring off in an NBA conference final as Steph Curry battles brother Seth Curry. Golden State laying 7.5 points in Game 1, over under 219. The game tips off at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Series price, Golden State minus 525. If you like dogs, Portland plus 400 to reach the finals. The Raptors meet the Bucks in Milwaukee for Game 1 Wednesday night at 8:30. Bucks favored by 6.5, total 218. Series price, Milwaukee laying minus 300. Toronto plus 240. Here are the live odds for the final four teams to win the NBA title. Golden State still the big favorites, minus 175. Bucks plus 225. Raptors plus 850. And Portland the biggest pooch on the board, 18-1. Michigan's John Beilein has agreed to become the Cleveland Cavaliers' next coach. The two sides coming to a five-year contract agreement today. Cleveland will provide Beilein with his first crack at the NBA success after the 60-year-old flourished at the NCAA level. Beilein helped mold the Michigan Wolverines into one of the nation's top programs, leading them to 9 NCAA tournament appearances in 12 years and 2 national championship games since 2013. Cleveland will now shift the focus to the NBA draft lottery, where it owns a 14% chance of landing the top pick. The Seattle Seahawks expected to sign backup quarterback Geno Smith as a backup to Russell Wilson today. Smith has started just 2 games since 2015. And just days after his release, Seattle receiver Doug Baldwin also calling it quits, retiring on Twitter. Prosecutors have dropped felony robbery and misdemeanor charges against former UFC lightweight and featherweight champion Conor McGregor. In March, McGregor was captured on video getting in an altercation with fan Ahmed Abzarak. Conor slapped his phone out of his hand, stomped on her at numerous times, and smashed it into bits and pieces. Instead of a trip to court, these guys have settled out of court. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Sounds like he got some cash there. One game in the NHL playoffs tonight at 9 o'clock. St. Louis at San Jose. S.J. Sharkey, the favorites, playing $1.35, total 5.5. San Jose up 1-0 in that series. Live odds to win the cup. Boston, the favorites, plus 100. San Jose, plus 165. St. Louis, 6-1. And Carolina, 14-1. Let's take a look at the MLB schedule for tonight. 6:30 baseball action. Yankees, minus 250 tonight against the Orioles. Total 5.5. Hess and Sessa, 7:05. Milwaukee at Philly. Phils minus 168.5. Peralta versus Nola. 7:10 action. Houston minus 160 at Detroit. 8.5 is your over-under. Peacock versus Boyd. 7:40. The Angels in Minnesota. Twins minus 159. We got Skaggs and Berrios going there. 8:10. Cleveland minus 160 favorites at the White Sox. Over-under 8.5. Bieber versus Lopez. 9:40. Pittsburgh at Arizona. The Snakes are minus 80. 9 is your total. Kingham versus Ray. And at 10:10, the late game of the night, Oakland at Seattle. Mariners minus 125, total 9. Fires versus Kikuchi. The Oakland A's have designated first baseman DH Kendrys Morales on assignment less than 2 months after trading for him from the Toronto Blue Jays. June Jones leaving the Hamilton Tiger Cats for an XFL head coaching job. According to reports, he's going to join the Houston franchise, which is slated to begin in 2020. And Serena Williams opened up her clay court season with a 6-4, 6-2 win over Sweden's Rebecca Peterson in the first round of the Italian Open today. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. Stick around, everybody. We got Mike Blewett dropping by, big man on campus. We'll give you some entertainment, some picks, and a whole lot more. Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage, our radio has it begun. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down in New York. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, in the six, where everybody is still talking about what happened last night in Toronto. Kawhi Leonard, now known as the shot around the basketball world. And it's not just Raptor fans that are caught up in this. It's basically, it's just, it's taken over. Now people are talking about where it ranks in the greatest shots of all time. And I'm glad that the Toronto Raptors survived, because I tell you what, if that shot doesn't go in, they lose in overtime.
Oh, I'm with you.
A raging redhead Cam Stewart, like, we were done, bro.
Let's just call it out for what it is, Gabe. I'm watching the game with Lisa last night. It's a sweat job. And I told her, I go, stay positive, stay positive. But the vibe in the air that the Raptors were going to find a way to piss this one away, and thank God for Kawhi Leonard. You're right. We had the Vince Carter graduation debacle and so many other things with the franchise. But, hey, new blood, Gabe. It's different than the old guys we had. Kawhi Leonard, he's a winner. He's from the Spurs, so he gets things done. So it's a nice, nice addition to the team. And without him, you said it, man. We would have been screwed. If he misses that shot, we're done in overtime. I agree 100%.
Yeah, it was it was quite the
I was thinking about your future plays, too. I'm like, I hope you get it, Brent. So you, like, already lost with Denver. I'm like, if Philadelphia finds a way, first of all, you lose money. Then we got to deal with big man on campus going to be squawking. Like, thank God something went right.
I'm going to be honest. I was okay for the first half.
Yeah.
I was actually relatively calm. It was just sort of like a normal game. You know what I mean? I was sitting here. I was doing my thing. I was eating a pizza.
Yeah,
and watching
nice.
The game. And then about midway through the third quarter of play, right around the end of the third quarter of play, started to get like a chest pain.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I nearly threw up.
Wasn't the pizza.
No, I nearly threw up. I was like, oh, God, I'm watching this game. And then basically once the fourth quarter started, was that like the 10-minute mark on the fourth quarter? I couldn't sit down anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I sat down to type something, and I stood up, and I was just sort of doing the pace. I was walking around. And, man, the game just wouldn't end, Cam. Like, I don't know if you saw on Twitter. I said, I don't even care who wins at this point. Just end the damn game. Like, I was sort of resigned to, wow, man. And like you said, my Twitter blows up worse than Kyle Lowry's after Raptor losses. Oh, you suck, Brent.
Sure.
Screw you. F the Raptors.
We the
blah, blah,
North
all that other stuff. I had some jackass Sixer fan sent me a tweet before the game. I was minding my own business too. I really didn't. Yeah. I didn't start anything with anybody.
That's the thing. A lot of these guys, they like to
minding my own business.
Fight. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, it's like, oh, enjoy watching Kawhi Leonard in Toronto for the last game. They're losers, and he's leaving. Enjoy. And I responded. And I said, or this is Jimmy Butler's last game in Philadelphia.
Game in Philadelphia, yeah.
And I said, this is Tobias Harris's last game in Philadelphia. And Joel Embiid will be left in tears when the game is over. I actually tweeted that thing.
Wow. That's
I
prolific.
Said, Joel Embiid will be left crying after Crystal the Raptors
ball.
Win. And then I said, Crystal enjoy ball. Sarcastically back. And boom. Joel Embiid was left in tears. And let me ask you, Cam, if you're Marc Gasol, are you consoling him?
No, I'm not, but he's a better man than me.
That's exactly the words I said this morning.
Think I console that guy?
He's a better man than me.
At the end of playoff series, I told you when I played hockey, when we had the handshakes, like, there was a lot of guys I wanted to punch in the face. There's a couple of guys in particular, but you got to suck it up. But no, I'm not going to help him after you lost the game. And I can tell you one thing, he wouldn't console anybody else. So, yes, he's a better dude than us, Marinsky.
I'll tell you right now, if the Philadelphia 76ers would have won, Joel Embiid would have been running around like a jackass.
Exactly. Yeah.
He would have been taunting the crowd and stuff.
Yeah,
so
Marc
Gasol is a nicer guy than we would have been.
True.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's roll. Get that division. Ready to rage our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. I'm Jim Moretti. We're down to Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Mike Blewett will join us. Big man on campus. A lot of stuff to get to today. A lot of basketball talk. We'll get to some hockey, too. We got golf. This week as well. John Beilein.
Yeah.
John Beilein, somewhat of a surprise. Now, listen, I'm not shocked. John Beilein has left Michigan only because he nearly took the Detroit Piston job last year.
That's true.
What I find strange, though, is why would you take the Cavs?
Yeah,
Orlando, too. Why would you take the Cavalier job and not the Piston job, at least? Like, the Pistons have Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, etc. But
6 years old.
Yeah, he's
old to be getting your first time at the NBA, too. Great NCAA coach. You know, with your Michigan Wolverines and West Virginia, I just kind of find it odd. You know, it's your first kick at the can, and you're 66. I know he's in probably good health. He doesn't really, you know, he seems like
a
pretty,
real nice guy, too. That's the problem.
Very like nice. And he's also
the NBA. You have to intimidate these guys a bit. Like,
yeah, he's like a church guy.
It's like he's 66. Like, what's up, Gramps? And it's like, you know, he signed a 3-year deal. How long is he really going to be there? Like 3 years? You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems strange, but it is and it isn't. He was fed up with college basketball. Like, he's been bitching about how it's dirty and for years, and they're never going to clean it up.
Yep.
So I think he just said, screw it, I'm out. And, you know, he probably always wanted to coach in the NBA and figured, hey, I have an opportunity to. So let's do this. Now, listen, Cleveland Cavaliers might get Zion Williamson.
I know. 14% chance.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible in the lottery.
they you know, so people are convinced that. Don't you just get the feeling that it's like a lock that Zion Williamson's going to be on the Knicks?
Yeah, it feels that way. It feels like the old Patrick Ewing frozen, what? I see vapor coming from the freezer there. Like, yeah, I could see,
Fluid. So I was just reading about that, Cam. So we're going back a ways, 1985. You know what I'm saying?
It was the best. It was the best.
So people were convinced, right, that it was rigged. And I'm reading now, I read a great piece about this just about an hour ago, actually, written about this in Sports Illustrated years ago and long form. And I guess it was, who's the guy? Donnie, what's his name? And a long time guy, Walsh.
Donnie Walsh.
Long time Pacers executive and stuff. Long time NBA guy, Red Knicks and stuff after. So I guess he told someone in like 1985, and it was like a month before the draft. And I guess he's quoted, somebody told him, he goes, yeah, someone really powerful in the NBA told me it's already a done deal. That it's going to be rigged. That Ewing's going to the Knicks. So basically, Cam, David Stern, it was his first year as commissioner, Stern. I didn't realize it. So it was Stern's first year as commissioner. The Knicks were terrible. The NBA didn't have a TV deal, all right, anymore. Their TV deal with CBS was up. Ratings really weren't good. People don't realize, like, Cam, the first NBA Finals I watched was on tape delay.
Oh, I know, tape delay.
It's a local news in Vermont.
You're right.
Came on at like 11:30, and now the Seattle Supersonics and the Washington Bullets, and like.
Good thing about the internet, you didn't have Twitter or the internet back then. You'd wait for the news and watch the game. What's happening?
It's the NBA Finals on tape delay, guys, in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't. The NBA's grown, man. Trust me. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson saved the NBA. But
good call.
New York was struggling, and people thought, well, you need New York, man. New York needs to be good. They're the media market and stuff. And it was the Clippers and the Pacers. And you knew they wasn't going to end up with the Pacers. So basically, the Knicks got the pick. Now, David Sternkamp reached in and was pulling out those big, goofy envelopes.
Yeah, they're huge. They're monsters.
Except, so get this, though. The New York Knicks envelope was bent.
I like it, Gabe. I like where you're going. Yep, I can. This is so easy to do.
It was like
then,
a bent. Like, it was bent envelope. They bent the corner.
Yes.
Of it.
Brilliant. Brilliant move.
And there's also, when you watch the video, he pauses and stuff.
Yeah.
And people are saying that they were in the room. They were like, you could feel something was up. Like, they were nervous. Yeah. Everyone seemed nervous and looking at each other weird and stuff. And basically,
so
I guess
dirty.
So. One of the dudes, the executive, someone executive guy from Ernst & Young, and I never understand this, Cam.
What, the accounting firm?
They're always like, oh, yeah, it's all on the up. We've got this guy from the accounting firm. Nobody trusts you from the accounting firm.
Like,
we got the Lehman Brothers with the briefcase. I really trust you. So it's like, I guess the guy, he put all the envelopes in, Cam, properly, but he threw the Knicks one. And he threw it, like, awkwardly against the wall that supposedly bent it. Now, that's what they're saying the bent come from. People are saying, no. You guys bent it before. It was bent. That you knew what you were doing. Stern knew that he was picking out
definitely.
The
net. Definitely. You know what you should have done, too? An easier way, Gabe? There's different types of paper. Like, you know, for people who read Braille, they have paper with, like, dots and stuff on. All you have to do is, like, seal it with your fingers. Like me and you should have rigged this thing. Like, it's not a genius
move. What
they
move. Should do, you know? Like, tomorrow, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to come out and, oh, yeah, it's been decided by Ernst & Young. It's like, guys, no one trusts you. Like, why don't they just do it, Cam, like the lottery? Why don't you just get some hot chicken and dress? And
amazing
say,
idea. Yeah, Powerball.
New York
I want to see Powerball. Yeah,
Phoenix exactly. Suns. Yep. They're like, see, I want to see the balls bouncing around. I don't know why they do this in secrecy.
Like, that's a great point. And watching the lottery, like, I used to actually watch Lotterio because it's fun. Like, you saw Faye Dance was the chick, and you'd wait after the game, after the Leaf game. I go, ooh, Lotterio's on because the balls would be in the vacuum. It's fun. You're right. Like, at least make it entertaining. Bring back the vacuum-packed dome.
Yeah, make it like
it's
the Price is Right.
Yes.
Make it like the Price is Right. Like,
you should be running the entertainment side of things. Like, these guys
we make the draft.
Out.
You know, like the Price is Right, the one they went to Switzerland and the hills, and you climb that hill.
Old lady who, they fall off the cliff. Bang.
So I basically have that. Right? How hard did you get? Sorry, Phoenix, you fell off. You're the fifth pick. You know, who gets the highest? All right, you win. Yeah, like you said. No, you know what? Honestly, and all kidding aside, they should do. They should have, like, Howie Mandel, like, deal.
That
show?
Deal or no
yeah,
deal.
Have a bunch of chicks with the briefcases. Howie Mandel hosted. And Amber, open a briefcase. Yeah. Bam. LA Clippers, number 6. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like
have
it.
Have the drama with the, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style music. Game show it up a bit.
Yeah.
Instead of bringing out some cheesy dude in a suit that no one trusts.
Yeah. You bring up a lot of good points there, Gabe. A lot of good points.
No one trusts you.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, the way it's done right now, even in today's world, it's like it could be so fixed. Like, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure this stuff out. Like, there's got to be a better way.
I like how Cam in 1985, they just did it easily. Just bend the envelope.
Well, yeah. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's not, and we all knew, Gabe, I remember that, like, that story. I didn't read the Sports Illustrated story, but everyone, like, when you were a viewer of that, and guys, I suggest, you know, if you're watching it, go check it out, check the video. It was a creepy thing. Like, it didn't feel on the up and up. It felt unnatural, and, you know, maybe something shady is going to go down with this one too, Gabe. We'll see. I don't trust it.
Either way.
You don't trust it. You don't trust it.
This. What do you think the New York Knicks odds? What do you think the New York Knicks odds are and should be for the NBA title next year? Like, right now in Vegas.
Oh, I know what it is, but I would put them probably at about.
Oh, you saw what they are.
I think they are. Well, I saw it last week. I think when I was doing an update, I would probably put them at 40. But I saw some, like, what is it, 16, 18 to 1 with the factoring in Durant. That's kind of what I saw.
16 to 1.
Yeah, 16 to 1. I saw 16 and I saw an 18. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they haven't made the playoffs in 12 years or something.
There's no guarantee he's going there. Like, I know they basically say it's not. No, you wouldn't get me sniffing until I saw something like around the 40 to 50 range. Because if they do get Durant, that could change everything real quick.
Yeah. So basically they are.
That's nuts. Basically, 16 to 1 stupid.
It's almost telling me that the Knicks are going to win.
Happening. Yes.
If Vegas knows, they know. Yeah. Zion Williamson is going to be a Knick. We're making it. We're not stupid. Cornegay said this. He goes, we're not dumb. He said they're going to win the lottery. And then they get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Hello. Yeah, exactly.
Like, right and now, the Vegas books are already betting on it that the Knicks are getting like, really good overnight.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, game time decision from Dawson City. Now, holy crap, does it ever look dark behind me? Listen, when I started the show, man, like the sun was starting to come out a bit. And
yeah, it really does, man. You look like, yeah. It looks like Mongolia there, like a big, thick, dark smoke.
It rains more here in New York than it does like Vancouver or Seattle combined.
Oh,
it doesn't stop.
It's unbelievable.
It doesn't stop. I've been to the Meadowlands 150 times. I think it's been raining 143 of them. It never stops raining.
Yeah, you're like Count Chocula there, Gabe. It looks really dark in the castle.
I know. I'm aware.
I don't know. but don't worry. I got kids' posters up, so we both got our problems. I'm saying yeah. it's very gloomy here, too. I got to tell you, this has been the gloomiest April, May, I think I can ever remember. And cold, too. It's like, so what are we looking at here? 7 degrees
cold
here today?
Hell.
What are we looking at? It's 40 degrees, like 42. Like, are you kidding me?
Come I on. Think Cam, a shark is going to come right through my window like Sharknado.
Yeah, Sharknado. It feels that way. Yeah. He's already got a tooth up there. He got you right there.
I'm going to get sucked out like through by a shark. All right, let's bring in Mike Blewett right now. Mike, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing okay, buddy. It's pretty depressed about the rainfall like you are. I think I heard yesterday that I heard 13 inches in front of the average this year of rainfall.
It doesn't stop.
Hey, Mike, you used to open up. I used to work at a golf course. They'd open it up at the end of March, okay? Like, it was like a championship. They had, like, tour events there on the Canadian tour. And now, what were you? Were you in May? You can't, are you golfing in this? 40 degrees. It's nuts.
Cam, the PGA Championship is here in four days.
I'm going. Excellent point, Mike. Excellent point. I know. It's going to
be the softest greens in the history of the tournament.
You better take a bomber, Gabe. That's a great point. Like, think about this. Like, small ball hitters in this type of weather, they're done.
Just
eliminate guys already. Just, you can't hit it 300 yards. You just don't put them on the betting card. It's soft, and it's going to play long.
They're teeing off less than 72 hours from now, just to give you a sense.
Yep.
60 hours.
What's the weather forecast for later in the week?
It's supposed to stop raining finally, but it's not going. It's going to get a little warmer. It'll be like in the mid 60s.
Well, that's good.
It doesn't stop. It's hard to believe.
I agree.
A meteorologist, that's one profession you can't trust. You don't think you can trust the NBA lottery? What about a meteorologist?
No, so that's true. Supposedly Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's supposed to rain. See, that's what I'm saying. So today, tomorrow, heavy rain.
Right.
Wednesday, Thursday, sun. Friday, rain. Saturday, Sunday, sun. Yeah. I'm not buying it. Out of those five days, I don't think, like, no, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
So which day are you going?
I'm going Friday. Of course, the day that you said it's going to rain.
90% chance of rain.
Perfect.
No. That's today. My bad. 50% chance. Scattered showers on Friday.
Awesome. It rained at Shinnecock last year when I went, and that was in July or whatever. So that was like unseasonably cool, and it rained a little bit, but it cleared up. So hopefully it'll get a little warmer. But it's not going to be terribly hot here the next few days either. So it's the conditions are what they are sort of right now, maybe minus the actual ongoing rain.
Mike Blewett with us. All right, Mike. So we were just talking about. So who do you like to win the before we get to the NBA? Who do you like to win the PGA Championship?
That's a good question. I'm sort of thinking that Kepka's been so consistent through the majors. I'm sort of looking at him. And if you're talking about somebody that can hit it long, then he's one of the guys that's got to be on your short list.
What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, I'm on Kepka, Gabe. I think he also like had his D game last week at the Byron Nelson and almost won. Sung Kang won. Like, he was basically not even like into it, and he's still on the leaderboard. He is that good. He always plays his best golf in majors, as we've seen. U.S. Opens, PGA Championships, right in his wheelhouse. Those are the best events for him with his length. And he gets really hot with the putter. If I had one pick, it would be Brooks Koepka. He's only 11-1, Gabe. He's the co-favorite right now. Tiger Woods is
totally agree.
He's 12-1 right now. So him and McIlroy, I think, are the favorites at 11. And I got to like Koepka. I'd take Koepka over McIlroy in a matchup bet, too. I'd smash it.
I'd be cheating in a sense only because
We're going to have Dan Daly on later in the week. I don't know if it'll be on this show or the morning show, whatever is better for him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tail him, and I know what his pick is. It's a nice, fat, long shot. And he's coming in swinging. Nice. Coming in and swinging.
Is he a portly fella?
We'll play a game here. So I'll give you sort of the odds range, and you tell me which, you know, who. All right, Mike? Mike, first.
I got an idea. Okay. It's a fun game. I like games. Here we go.
All right. Get the odds open, guys. I'll tell you, where is he? All right. He's in between 40 and 60 to 1.
Okay.
So you got that Garcia, DeChambeau, Finau, Spieth, Matsuyama, Cantlay, Kuchar, Casey. Man, there's some good golfers in this
sure
odds
is.
Zone, man. You get some nice odds on some top flight golfers.
Yeah.
Adam Scott, Bubba Watson. So which in that range, Blewett, who do you think's a live long shot there?
I have a feeling you're talking about Cantlay, but maybe I'm off.
Now that guy screws me all the time. Cam?
No, I had Cantlay at the Masters. Remember when he had the lead and he looked at the leaderboard and crapped his pants? It really pissed me off.
Yeah,
but
he
was right there. The minute he looked and saw himself in the lead after the eagle putt, it was a nightmare.
That took 90 seconds. That took 90 seconds for him to fold.
I would have won like $4,000 if that guy won. I had him at 80-1 when I bought him. Anyway, I like DeChambeau at 40, Gabe. But I think your boy likes Finau. Those are the two guys I'd target.
Adam Scott.
Wow, really? 55-1, Adam Scott. Interesting. I didn't see that one coming.
Adam Scott.
Wow.
All right. Third place last year in the PGA.
Yeah.
14th on the PGA Tour in SG putting this year.
His putting's improved, definitely. It's a real problem before.
Like I said, it's a bold pick.
It's a very bold pick. Very bold.
His contenders, guys, his top five contenders, Xander Schauffele.
Love that pick. Yep.
Dustin Johnson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Brooks Koepka. Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
That's his dangerous in the top five with Adam Scott thinking outside the box.
Schauffele played so well in Augusta that you have to – I mean, if you're going to ride the wave, he played so well at the last major. I can see that.
And he's 28-30-1, Mike. The thing is, Gabe and Mike, when you look at Schauffele, he doesn't – like, when I look at those guys, here's my thing. John Rahm is great, okay? But – I can look at recent history, form, and everything. I would flip those guys. I'd put Rahm at 28-1, and I'd put Schauffele at 20. It's like he doesn't have that name value yet, but if you follow golf, you know he's a top five, top 10 guy, hands down. Even Fowler.
And I think Schauffele over Fowler, too.
He's 20.
And I would say the same thing with Fleetwood, too, is the type of guy that in a major, we saw him play really well in majors last year. I can't speak to how well he's playing right now. But Schauffele and Fleetwood are sort of in the same range odds-wise, and I think people won't necessarily jump on. People are just waiting and hoping for John Rahm to win his first major. Well, if you could have taken the same approach as Sergio Garcia, thinking he'd win it eventually, and he would have missed out on probably 60 majors in a row betting the wrong guy.
Dustin Johnson, you were talking about a Cam that and Mike, with the weather being what it is and this golf course being as big as it is.
Yeah.
Seems to be tailor-made for what Dustin Johnson can bring to the table.
You're absolutely right, Gabe.
Does he have the mental toughness to grind out 4 days of a PGA championship, though?
That's the thing. Like, I look at Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, and when I compare them, those are the two guys I like. If I had unlimited money, not talking about value, those are the two guys I'd pick. But I pick Koepka because of the way he works, his steely attitude. And Dustin Johnson, sometimes he just gets loose. Like, the thing is, if he actually focus and concentrate, he'd blow guys away. And when major after major after major, it just shocks me how sometimes, you know, that the light switch in his head kind of goes off. Brooks Koepka's not like that. He'll just dig deep and just grind with, like, no emotion, Gabe. He's the perfect type of player for – I like Koepka a lot. But DJ –
What about Tiger this week?
I'm not taking him. I'm not taking Tiger this week. I think the course will play too long. I think a lot of people will jump on Tiger. I think he'll finish maybe like T16. Like, I don't have him. I'm actually going to look for a matchup bet against him. If I can get either DJ against him, Koepka or Scheifele, one of those guys, I'll definitely bet against Tiger Woods. But hey, man, the guy's on. He's feeling it now, right, Gabe? He's got that. And I'll tell you something. If he's in contention, He can will his way to a title and scare these kids. The only guy I don't think he would scare is Brooks Koepka. He is the perfect type of guy to battle Tiger Woods.
Mike, are you buying into the Tiger Woods hype? And is that one of the reasons? Well, you know, you said you went last year to Shinnecock, so it sounds like you're a big golf attendee. But is Tiger one of the main reasons you're going this week?
No, I wouldn't say so. Look, there was a massive crowd following Tiger last year, and there was no indication that he was really going to compete at Shinnecock. I try to go to these majors when they're around here. It's relatively close to my house. I mean, a major can't get closer to my house than this one. It's about a 20-minute drive. So it's exactly right on the course, buddy. So
NBA executives, and of course, I'm not surprised.
That's right.
And how about talking about the course? Joe Ranieri told me, Gabe, I played this course about 300 times. I grew up on this course. It's like, my parents have a membership. I played this course growing up. Like, of course, Ranieri.
Yeah, Ranieri's another.
It is a public course, though. It is a public course, so you can get on.
You can't play if you can't get on one of them, though, right? There's like five courses or something, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't play.
Yeah, but you can play black. You just haven't been able to play it for a year. They've shut it down for the last year, so you haven't been able to get on there. But you can get on there.
But it is a public course, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But you have to be good. You can't just be duffing around out there.
No.
It's an impossible course.
No worm burners at Bethpage Black. No way.
No, absolutely not. You can't be out there.
People like Augusta. For me, yeah, I'd like to get baked and like zoom around the cart on the ocean at Pebble Beach.
That's your style.
The nicest. Like the nicest place in America.
All right, of course. Chip Batch lived by glass.
Yeah, of course he does. Chip.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
NFL rookie development programs begin this week, and those of you who were drafted in the 2019 NFL draft get acclimated to NFL life. For serious fantasy football enthusiasts and NFL bettors, you got to start prepping too. Roto Experts has you covered with the 2019 NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing NFL Dynasty, season-long betting and best ball draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play, while providing you with the data and insight you need to be successful at the betting window. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% with the promo code FNTSY. The 2019 NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, only at rotoexperts.com.
All right, well done, Cam. So, we'll get hang in there, Clam Chowder. Clam Chowder's on hold. We'll get to Clam Chowder in a minute or two here. I want to bring up Mike. So we know that Mike was, of course, devastated last night after the Toronto Raptors shot went in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Mike's a Sixer guy.
Yeah, his friends, executives, and stuff like
that's
that.
That's right.
Got some friends there. What do you want me to do? I did say here a week ago that it's hard to bet against the best player, and he's clearly the best player.
Yes.
That was a hell of a series.
What a series.
Listen, Joel Embiid and his, you know, I want to like him. You know, he does. There's a lot of things to like about the kid. I like his passion, his energy. He's, you know, he likes to have fun in life. I respect it. But also, I don't like a lot of other things about Joel Embiid.
Get it.
One thing, though, that I'll say, I've gained some respect for him in this series.
Me too.
You know, against the Nets, he was kind of a jackass, elbowing people because he knew he was better than everyone. Yeah. And, he was just sort of, he wasn't humble. He was a jerk. And it was a bad look, I thought. He got humbled in this series. And, you know, like James Harden after the game the other night, I know how to beat these guys. Well, obviously you don't. You just lost 3 years in a row.
Exactly.
Right? You don't know how to beat them. So I don't know why you say that. Like Joel Embiid, you know, I would have, they were lucky. Oh, if this happened or if that happened. He said, man, you know, we lost. You know, they were better. Ben Simmons, I gained respect for after. He said they're damn good, man.
Yep.
Yeah, he said they're damn good. He said we tried, we were short. You know, he said that's a good team. We respect them, but I like how Joel Embiid has his coaches back here. And I said the exact same things about people complaining about Brett Brown. Brett Brown did a great job.
I agree.
He did it. It wasn't his fault. It's not his fault Ben Simmons doesn't work on his jump shot. It's not his fault that Joel Embiid isn't as in good shape as he should be. It doesn't, like, watch his diet and doesn't take care of himself. None of this stuff is his fault. It's not his fault J.J. Redick is erratic. He didn't give J.J. Redick $24 million a year. So
he
Joel
tried
Embiid's,
every possible combo of guys coming off the bench, sixth men. He tried everything conceivably possible to gain
and
infinitesimal edge on the lineups.
So
he's a better coach than Nick Nurse in that series. I don't think it's even debatable.
Nurse did a good job yesterday.
Yesterday. Yep.
He did some things and sort of saved the series, actually, that people aren't talking about much, but you know, some people are up. But one thing about Joel Embiid, so Joel Embiid says today, I've been off of social media. Yeah, of course you have, because you lost. You know, if Joel Embiid, if they would have won, the guy would have been tweeting all kinds of stupid shit. So Embiid on Brett Brown, I was off of social media. I'm hearing all these rumors, and I just thought it was all bullshit. He's done a fantastic job. He's been through here everything. Then this year, I think he grew even more as a coach. He learned. We've all learned. It's hard when you've got five guys that can all score and do a lot of things on the court. We have to put it all together. It's not easy. At the end of the day, though, it comes down to the players. I don't think he should have anything to worry about. He's an amazing coach, and even a better person. Obviously, I've got a lot of love for them, for him. If you want to blame somebody, if there's someone to blame, put the blame on me, Embiid today. That's being a leader right there. And I've been saying
totally
this.
Agree.
I told Big Man on campus that last week. Remember, Cam? I said he's not the one on the court. It's up to the players. There's only so much a coach can do. You know what I mean? Like I said, Joel Embiid is great, but he takes too many threes. He falls down too much. You know, Ben Simmons is very good, but the thing is, everyone knows he's not going to shoot a jumper, it's easier to play defense on other guys. Like, we can go down the list. That's not on Brown. Yeah, he can coach through this, but you got a lot of head cases and egos in that room, Mike. Ben Simmons and the Kardashian stuff. Joel Embiid's a load
Jimmy
to deal
Butler.
With. Jimmy Butler, you got to keep
locker room.
Happy. You bring in Tobias Harris, who can score, but you got to work him in. It's not an easy job, that job. And look at the Lakers. They had a hard time getting a coach. It's not like there's a million good coaches out there.
I completely agree that you're dealing with a lot on that team. And when you're in game seven and you're up and there's
left. Sorry, even the city added pressure, right? Not just the guys in the room, but that city, the fans, they're nut job.
Yes. And when you're in the last few minutes of game seven, unless it's something egregious, I'm not really going to point fingers at the coach. We saw both teams really struggled to play offense yesterday. Kawhi's brilliant in that he's able to get through a night where he's struggling to shoot the basketball well, and he still can score 41-8. That's the brilliance of great players. It isn't their best night, but they still find a way to win, and in this case, in spectacular fashion. When it came to the Sixers, a couple of shot clock violations, including one out of a timeout, throwing the ball away. Van Vliet gets a steal at one point. Joel Embiid drifting out to the three-point line probably a little bit too much. He should have played back to the basket. He probably could have dominated Gasol a little bit. Last night, Gasol was not playing particularly well. So there's little things along the way that result in the closest game of the entire postseason so far and a miraculous four-bounce off-the-rim shot to lose. It is splitting hairs upon splitting hairs, and to point to the coach and say he didn't get it done in game three or whatever is just people looking for excuses. The players have to win that series.
No, you're exactly right.
Yep. Well said, Mike.
And listen, you know, Jimmy Butler tied the damn game with 4 seconds.
I agree.
I don't know what more you want to do.
Let's remember something. The Raptors were 6-point favorites in that game, and it goes down to a last crazy second shot. The Sixers played their asses off, like a road game, a game seven in that atmosphere. They did great. It should be commended. They played their asses off. Just Kawhi Leonard's the best. That's the only reason. You know, he's number one.
So what's your pick, Mike? Raptors or Milwaukee Bucks?
That one's really tough for me. I was thinking about it a lot last night. I just wonder, you know, Toronto bugged me yesterday in that everybody slagged off so much and we're just letting Kawhi take the shots. I'm concerned about that dynamic. They have obviously really good to great players around him. I'm concerned a little bit with that dynamic. But does the same dynamic exist in Milwaukee? Milwaukee just hasn't really been tested yet. They're a little bit fresher. That gives me an edge. I think Kawhi.
I think they're going to be cold and rusty in the first half.
They could be. There's no map for that. They could just as easily be rusty as they could be fresh. So I would give a slight edge to Toronto because I think overall, even though Giannis is probably this year's MVP, I would have to declare Kawhi Leonard the better player because I'm looking at the entire body of work. And it's a close call, but Kawhi's body of work over the course of his career is better.
As you mentioned, and I tweeted this out before the show started about the Milwaukee Bucks, or actually in the chat, whatever. The Bucks are really good, all right? But they have like 50 wins or something, like 51 wins, I believe, whatever it was, by double-digit points this year. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Let's look at the division if they play it. They played the Pistons 4 times, the Cleveland Cavaliers 4 times, the Bulls. That's a bad division, guys.
It is. Okay? It is.
It was like epically bad this year. So they beat up on bad teams. They, like you said, it reminds me, guys, of a college team, sort of like Duke or something. You know these college, or Gonzaga, unless you Gonzaga camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gonzaga beat people up in that West Coast Conference all the time.
San Francisco, St. Mary's.
Like, it's not like, Aoba. No, we're not saying you can't play with Kentucky and you can't play with these big boys. You can't
get battle tested,
but Kentucky and these guys have been through wars like 18 games where they've had, hey, you got to shoot with 4 seconds left, bro. You guys won every game by 44 points. And suddenly you're in an NCAA tournament against guys that are as good as you. And you're like, damn, man, we're under pressure. Who's going to shoot? It's a different dynamic. And I really believe this series is going to be different. I really do. And I didn't like it. The Raptor players really, really did get. They went into a shell. There's no disputing it. Their confidence got rattled. But every matchup is different in sports. And the Milwaukee Bucks aren't the most athletic team, man. Middleton's a good three-point shooter, whatever. You can nullify him a bit. The Raptors are going to have OG Anunoby back. He's a great defender. They're not the greatest team, Milwaukee, in a half-court set. They're not used to playing in close games. The Raptors are freaking battle-tested, but Kyle Lowry has to continue to play well. And he was the glue yesterday, but he needs to hit some more shots. Van Fleet needs to start hitting some of these threes. We can't get zero production from him. Yet, Milwaukee's going to have a problem with Gasol. They're going to have a problem with Ibaka. They don't have a lot of size guys besides the Greek Freak. They're essentially a three-point and dunk team. They're the king of analytics, this team.
I would love to have a guy like Ibaka on my team in this kind of playoff series.
Yep.
I just think having guys like that are so important when you're in seven-game series. You saw the plays he's making in the last couple of games. It's just hustle plays. And Lowry and Ibaka and Van Vliet made a few plays yesterday, even though they couldn't hit anything, that won them the game. It comes down to it. And I think having those types of guys that have been through it before is helpful against Milwaukee.
Okay, so before we get you out of here, Mike, and hang in there, Chatter. Actually, let's get Chatter in right now, actually. Say hi to Mike. Clam! Chowder!
Hey, how we doing, Mike? Blew it.
I'm doing you great, Clam.
You blew it last night. You could have won, man. Put those double hairs and in the hairs back on your hairs.
I don't know what that means, Chowder.
I don't either, but I like it.
I'm doing great, buddy. Congrats on your Raptors win.
Okay. Hey, you better have a heated blanket at the PGA there.
I'm going to have a parka, a umbrella, and probably a heated blanket. It's a good – I may get electrocuted if I use the heated blanket, but –
You know,
I'm
the
sure
PGA is
going to
be
options.
Selling blankets. They could
okay, have a good one, Mike. Nice to hear you.
All right, guys. Yeah, he's still with us. They'll do, yeah, yeah. I mean, the merchandise tent at the golf tournaments or where you want to be.
Yeah. That little
How you doing, Chowder?
Right? Chowder.
Hey, where you want to be? Where you want to be, Mike? Where are we going to be? Don't start that again.
Guys, translate for me. I'm missing the
I don't know, Chowder. Where's that from, Chowder? Is that from a movie?
Yeah. The Jungle Book with the Beatles, the vultures. Hey, what you going to do? No, don't start that again. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Don't start that again.
I'm unfamiliar with the movie The Jungle Book.
I never saw The Jungle Book either.
Hey, you caught us off guard.
A cartoon, Walt Disney.
Yeah. Come on,
Chowder. Baloo! Hey, Baloo!
All right. We'll keep Chowder on. Hang in here, Chowder. We'll get to you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm pulling back. I'm pulling back my pants up.
Wow, we're off the chain.
He's letting it all hang out.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Have a good one, Mike.
This is the best way to close out.
Hang in here, Chowder. We'll give you another 2 minutes on the other end here.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Clamp Chowder. I'm not sure if he pulled his pants back up yet or not. What up, Chowder? You still with us, Chowder?
Hey, how is it going? My name is Gabriel Marinci. Yeah, I pulled them up and I tied them up with a cord like a Jeffro in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Listen, we got about 3 minutes, Chowder. Here, we got an update of three minutes.
All right,
Jeffro, what's up, huh?
Hey, what's in the kitchen? How you doing, man? How's the litter box?
Yeah, the litter box is pretty good today, Chowder. Not bad.
Okay, good. Nice to hear. Okay, I want to start off with Clay the Carpenter Guida that I met with the marvelous Gabriel Marinci at Trophies for a wonderful road rage. 35-18-0 record and unanimous decision over veteran champion BJ Penn.
Yeah, you should be a ring announcer. Good stuff, Chowder.
Yeah, fantastic.
Clay Guida got it done. BJ Penn's got it.
Yeah, I feel so great for him. Very nice person from Round Lake, Illinois.
Yeah, Chicago kid. He's from, yeah, that's right, Chowder.
Yeah, and I want to say also the Habs prospect, Nick Suzuki, not the car now, Suzuki, got the MVP award, Wayne Gretzky, for the most valuable player, and his head the Memorial Cup in Halifax. The Mooseheads are hosting it.
That's going to be a good time down there. You know, if I was still around,
homicide, left them for dead.
That's right. That's right, Chowder. Left for dead, baby. Hey, Chowder, you watching Game of Thrones?
Yeah. I'm on the phone. I'm in the Batcave, and I'm talking to the commissioner. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, are you watching a Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah, the Memorial Cup, man, starting on the 17th, ending on the 26th. Yeah, I'm watching it.
Awesome.
All right, take us out, Chowder.
Take us out.
10 seconds, Chowder, quick.
Okay. Oh, hey, wait up, Molly, quick. Breathe, stars.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Smashing. Hey, everybody, I'm Dan Stewart with Drumming and Great Love Powder. Let's take a look at the MLB schedule tonight. We've got games going on. The Yankees and Orioles get things started from New York City. 6:35 start again. Yankees 250. Pitching change. We had Lasagna starting. Sess is in for the Yankees versus Hess. Total 8.5. 7:05 action. Milwaukee and Philly. Phil's laying 60 cents. 8.5 is your total. Peralta and Nola. 7:10 baseball action. Houston laying $1.65 at Detroit. Total 8.5. Peacock versus Boyd at 7:40. We have the Angels and Twins. Twins minus $1.59. Skaggs and Berrios. Berrios on fire this year. 8:10 Cleveland. They're laying $1.60 at the White Sox. Over under 8.5. Bieber and Lopez 9:40. Pittsburgh at Arizona. D-backs minus 180. 9 is your total. Kingham and Ray. Last game on the board tonight. Oakland at Seattle. Mariners minus 25. Total 9. Fires coming off a no-hitter versus Kikuchi. The Oakland A's also designated first baseman DH Kendrys Morales for assignment less than 2 months after trading for him from the Blue Jays. Kevin Durant won't be back for game one of the Western Final versus the Blazers on Tuesday. He's going to be forced to miss game one with that calf strain injury. Durant also is going to be reevaluated this Thursday, so making him doubtful for game two as well. Golden State's going to lean on Curry. He had scored 33 points all in the second half of the Friday game six win in Houston. The Warriors are making their fifth straight conference appearance. Portland advancing to the West Final for the first time since 2000. Congratulations to them. It's the battle of the Curry brothers, too. Steph versus Seth. Golden State laying 7.5 in game one. Over under 219. Game tips off at 9 o'clock. Series price, Golden State minus 525. Portland, they're plus 400 to reach the finals. Eastern Finals, Toronto Raptors meet the Milwaukee Bucks. Game one Wednesday night, 8:30 tip. Bucks laying 6.5, total 218. Series price, Milwaukee minus 300. The Raptors are plus 240. Live odds for the final four teams left, Golden State minus 175. Bucks next up at plus 225. Raptors plus 850. Portland 18-1 to win it all. Michigan's John Beilein has agreed to become the Cleveland Cavaliers head coach. The two sides came to terms on a five-year contract. That according to ESPN. Cleveland will provide Beilein his first crack at the NBA after the 66-year-old was great at the NCAA level. He helped mold that Michigan Wolverines program into one of the nation's top programs, leading them to 9 NCAA tournament appearances in 12 years and 2 national championship games since 2013. Cleveland will now focus on the NBA draft lottery. They have a 14% chance of landing the top pick, which will surely be Zion Williamson. The Seahawks expect to sign Cordell Smith to back up Russell Wilson. He started just 2 games since 2015, and receiver Doug Baldwin appears to have retired from his Twitter account today. He got released a couple days ago. Prosecutors drew felony robbery and misdemeanor charges against former UFC lightweight and featherweight champ Conor McGregor. In March, McGregor was captured on video getting an altercation with a fan of his, Ahmed Abderzak. Conor then slapped the phone out of the man's hand and stomped on it numerous times, smashing it to pieces. Instead of trip to court, these guys have settled out of court. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Looks like the man got paid. In one game in the NHL playoffs tonight, 9 o'clock, St. Louis got smoked in the first game. They're back at it tonight. S.J. Sharkey, minus 140, total 5.5. San Jose leads the best of 7 series, 1 game to nothing. Live odds for the Cup, Boston, plus 100. Sharks, plus 165. St. Louis 6-1, and those bunch of jerks, Carolina 14-1. Double A hockey today, Canada beating Slovakia 6-5. Just this one just ended. Mark Stone, the winner with 2 seconds left in the third. The USA over Finland 3-2 in overtime. June Jones leaving the Hamilton Tiger Cats for an XFL head coaching job. This according to reports from Houston. Jones is reportedly set to join the Houston franchise, slated for play in the XFL in 2020. Serena Williams opened up her clay court season with a 6-4, 6-2 win over Sweden's Rebecca Peterson today in round one of the Italian Open. Tiger Woods, Brooks Koepka, Francesco Molinari, one of the featured groups for the PGA this week at Betpage Black. DJ and Brooks Koepka, the favorites at 11-1. Tiger Woods, 12-1. And Justin Thomas at 20-1 has just withdrawn. So Justin Thomas, one of the favorites, withdrawing from the tournament. Hey, Gabe Morenci, host Red Heat and Rage Radio. I'm Cam Stewart. Hour two coming up. We'd like to thank Mike Blewett there and Clam Chowder. Great stuff. So keep it locked. Big man on campus a little bit later. Red Heat and Rage, hour two, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Dang. Level two. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage, our radio. Leo Rowdens, who was on the call last night, will join us. Well, we spoke to him this morning, my boy Leo.
Nice, Leo.
Yeah, Leo Rowdens. He did the game last night.
Yes, he did, Gabe. Yes, he did. Love
Leo. I told him. I saw Leo during the broadcast. I was watching TNT's feed, Kevin Harlan and Greg Anthony. You know, on the camera and stuff, I could see, you know, the scores table. And I'm like, hey, there's Devlin. And Devlin looks stressed, bro. There was 2 minutes left. He was stone cold. I don't know what he sounded like on the broadcast, but he was nervous. Stone cold. And Leo sort of, you know, Leo looked like Leo. He's chill. So I tweeted, I he's always like, chill, this guy. He's like a cool dude, Leo Rowdens. He's just cool.
He's a good golfer. Calm. He never gets
He probably is.
Leo.
He does.
Like Devlin? You're right. Devlin was like us. He's like, his hair was out of place, and he looked really like he was losing money or something. Yeah, he seemed
Devlin
very
was worried.
Upset.
He was Devlin, worried. Like, was sweating and stuff. Like,
yes, he was. He was
Leo's
inspiring.
All calm, but I said, man, I said, you guys stressed. And Leo, like, right away tweets me back, I'm never stressed, Gabe.
Exactly.
He goes, I'm never stressed. He goes, I enjoyed every second of that game.
Yeah, Leo's awesome.
So, yeah, Leo joined us, and he had a great description of it, actually. It was right in front of him. So he said he saw Kawhi, like, right in front of him with 4 seconds and the whole how, like, Kawhi took the clock down and perfectly managed it. And we'll go through it with Leo. But I got to tell you, man, I do believe, I really do. I'm not just saying this, but I think the Raptors are going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And
I think the price is insane. I would have made that line in Vegas, Bucks, like in the series.
I thought it was going to be 160, 170.
I thought it would be $180 because of Milwaukee with the Greek Freak and the name and the way they took out Boston.
Or what it should be. You're right. Yeah.
180. 180 is a good number. 200 is an excessive number. It's 300. The fact that you're laying 300 with Milwaukee, I don't care if they win or not, it's a bad bet. They should not be minus 300 in the series. The Raptors are getting disrespected. And Philadelphia is a damn good team. They took us 7 games. It's not going to be that easy for Milwaukee. They caught Boston at the right time. This series is going to go the distance, too. I think the Raptors can get it done.
I think they will get it done. I think they will. And we'll talk about it. There was a game on Saturday night that they played that the Raptors tried in. The Raptors didn't try in the first 2 games they played. Two of the 4 games, they didn't play people. It was just one of these weird scheduling type deals. Kawhi only played like twice, I think. And I don't know if you remember, but the Raptors got lost on TV a lot this year. And there was a third. Remember Kawhi going back to San Antonio and they got slaughtered?
Yeah, they got smoked. Yeah, they did bad on their TV games. You're right.
They got smoked. And they got smoked on the Tuesday night, too, on a TV game. They were on TV against another big team, and they got tattooed. Maybe Denver waxed them. Or someone tattooed them. And then, boom, they got smoked versus the Spurs. It was like, ooh, good. And then it was like, oh, boy, they got to play Milwaukee now on a Saturday night in Milwaukee. And the Raptors beat them. Like, the Raptors took care of business. I think it was in Milwaukee. Well, we could double-check it. But anyways, I think they match up well. And I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not discounting Portland either. C.J. McCollum, he's got something special going on right now.
Sure does.
You know, him and Lillard, I won't discount them, especially if Kevin Durant misses the series, they have a shot.
You'll miss two
they
games.
They can win.
You'll miss two games, maybe three. That's the thing. He's probably going to be back for game
But what's he going to be like when he comes back? We don't know.
That's another thing, yeah. It's a calf injury. Anything can happen.
But can I guarantee you. Can he jump? Can he set up?
After the update, he's going to be out too, Gabe. They're reassessing him on Thursday, and that's not good, so he's guaranteed out 2 games.
Golden State's most likely going to win in 6. I think 6. All right, game time.
I'd love Portland to win.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, level two continues. Game Time Decisions, Ready to Face Radio. Counter is on fire today. Hi, Morenci from down with Cam Stewart. A lot of stuff to get to. We've been talking basketball. We'll get into the hockey. I just wanted to bring up, I'm sure, Cam, you were thinking as a diehard Maple Leaf fan, you would have preferred Drake busting out the Bruin jersey, like we said he should have a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. It's this guy, I'll tell you, man. It's just everything's interesting with Toronto teams. I'm just happy they got over the hump, because if they wouldn't have beat Philadelphia in that game, there would have been some serious, you know, we talk about the slump buster or Santeria lighting something on fire. You'd have to do something, because and now I'm watching. Yeah, it would have been not just depressing, actually, like really, really angering, depressing. It actually would have affected me, and usually sports don't really affect my life anymore. But having the Raptors and Leafs both out would have been very annoying. But I will say this, watching Boston just carve their way through Carolina right now, it makes me even angrier watching their games, because I'm thinking, wow, if Toronto beat these guys, you know, they could probably take these teams down. But that's classic. You guys never get over the hump, and now look at Boston. They're taking Carolina out to the woodshed. I know both games have been in. You know, at home, they have to go on the road, and we'll see what happens. But, and I'll tell you, Gabe, that Marchand, I just, day after day, like, I wish Justin Williams put a hole in his face. Like, he sucked him into a penalty. What a prick. Like, I just want somebody to, I don't care. Like, I want this guy knocked out. Like, out. Like, I am so done with that prick. He is unbelievable. You know, he's a prick.
I did have to ask you about Drake, not the Bruins.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You got me switched. I couldn't give a shit about Drake. Cares about Drake. He's just, you know, he wear whatever freaking jersey he wants.
So I noticed that Drake wasn't courtside yesterday, and I thought it was a good thing, actually.
Yeah. Like, I don't want him anywhere near
anything. I saw
that,
and I was thinking, wow, he's not there. Where is he? And then I realized, I'm thinking, does he have a show tonight? I'm like, there's no way in hell he would book a show on game. Like, he doesn't.
No.
He only plays in the summer with his little OVO Fest and stuff. He doesn't tour, like, type thing that much. So I was like, nah, what's so? I was like, wow. And then I realized, you know what? He doesn't want to get blamed. He doesn't want to get blamed.
You said it.
It's amazing to me, though. We used to joke about that, about I said during the Bruin series, man, he should put a Bruin jersey on. And he is sensitive to this curse stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it. Right? You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't like being called a curse and stuff. It bothers him. And
have you? Yeah.
So him putting the Philadelphia stuff on is basically him admitting that he's a curse.
Yes. Like, see what else he's wearing, too, when he doesn't wear shorts jerseys now? He's bringing back, like, shows like, he had like a Degrassi Junior High when he was, remember when he was the basketball player in the wheelchair type of thing? But there was a show on TV called Breaker High. Yeah, Breaker High. He's bringing back like that, like loser show. You know what I mean? He's repping their gear and stuff. So yeah, I think he's trying to get away from the sports jersey stuff because of the curses. But excellent point by you. Yeah, you know, he knows it's real, man. He wore the soccer jersey, the team law. Like, yeah, wasn't it Barcelona or something? Like, this guy, yeah, it's just one of those things, man. People are superstitious. You don't want to walk under ladders and do stuff like that. It's not working for you. Like, think about it.
I don't believe that
a person can influence these things, but time and time again, Gabe, some people just, it's one of those things. If those things kept on happening with you or me, I think I would change something too.
They do.
I would. Yeah, well, you got something for bad beats?
You were 6-0. You were 6-0 at the Leaf games. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Look what I'm doing now in the NHL playoffs. I suck rocks. I can't hit a winner to save my life. I'm on the Blues. They get smoked. I take Carolina because I hate Boston. They get smoked. I like the
Raptors
tonight, though.
Are 0-4 against the spread this year when I'm in attendance.
That's not good.
Yeah, but they're 3-1 straight up.
Oh, okay. That changes things. It's nice.
The only game they lost I saw was that Friday night. Brooklyn beat them.
Oh, yeah. And actually, after that game, you want to talk about reverse curses. Brooklyn went on a heater after you went to the game.
Yeah, I did.
Remember? They went on
the jersey and they went on. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that. I got to tell you, I love that Brooklyn jersey. I remember I went to Modell's. I got a Brooklyn t-shirt. It was in the dollar bin. They had like a dollar bin. It doesn't fit me now. Like, my gut hangs out. But I got a Brooklyn Nets t-shirt for like a dollar. It was when like nobody, like, it was the old logo too, Gabe. Not even the cool new one. Like, yeah, Modell's couldn't give that stuff away. It was ugly.
So, yeah, the Toronto Raptors, they're about plus 235 or so. It's a little less here in New York.
Yeah, 235, 240, yeah. Ugh. It's a little high. It's good value, man.
Plus 250.
I'll watch it. Devlin's on the phone right now on the show. I was just watching the international hockey game. I was going to flick the channel, the golf channel or whatever. I don't have my converter yet, but Devlin, yeah. Yeah, you said it, man. That guy, like, he didn't look like, usually the guy, like, has a really nice Italian suit and his hair, but you could tell, like, he looked like he went through the ringer. Like, that was a guy that, like, had a bad day on the floor at the stock exchange. He looked beat down.
All right, Cam. So, FanDuel has named the finalists. Exacta. Two finalists and who wins? The favorite. Wow. This isn't going to happen either. The Golden State Warriors to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, plus 150.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Golden State Warriors to beat the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals, plus 300. Milwaukee Bucks to beat the Golden State Warriors, plus 300. Toronto Raptors to beat the Golden State Warriors, plus 650. Portland Trailblazers to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, 16-1. These odds aren't big enough.
No, Milwaukee. I could tell you right now. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. So what you just said was, what was that last one with Portland, 16-1? We got Portland already in the series price. It almost like you said it. These odds do not correlate with what's happening.
Listen
now.
To this, Kevin.
Why would I take the Raptors at 3-1 when they're plus 250 online at Mr. Green? And all they got to do is win the series. They don't have to win the championship. That's a bad
Portland
bet.
To beat the Bucks.
Yep, FanDuel's
plus
good,
1600.
Though.
Portland Trailblazers to win the NBA championship is 15-1.
Yeah.
You might as well just take the 15-1. Yeah,
18.
And the same thing with the Raptors. The Raptors are plus 200 right now, and I guarantee you, if the Raptors win this series, they're going to be big dogs against the Warriors. You're better off just taking it at a plus 450 in the next series. Like, they're not giving enough odds there.
At FanDuel to win the NBA championship. That's what I need to know.
Plus 550.
Yeah, you know what they are online? Plus 850. So... the best bet they have there is, I got to tell you something, the Minnesota Twins was your bet at plus 210 that time. It's down to like $1.30, man. That's the bet.
The problem is, like a everybody is betting on the Raptors at that book. I'm telling you. It's been this way all year. Like, there's people with Raptor gear. I went in there yesterday. I was doing a Blue Jay jersey after the game.
Yeah.
Hang around.
Be the North, baby. Yeah, the North's representing. They're representing.
Yeah, like. I'm getting it left and right. How about them Raptors? I'm wearing Raptor gear, like at the book and stuff. People are like, go Raps. Like, even during the season, people are, I guess it's an East Coast thing. Like, people in New York, they're not going to like the Milwaukee Bucks. Golden State's on the West Coast. Portland's Pacific Northwest. You know, I could see the action. You have Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry's from Philadelphia, East Coast, like. People like the Raptors, dude. The Raptors are more popular than people realize. Like,
I agree.
We were looking at the TV ratings. I was looking at the ratings, and the Raptors did very well, actually. Like, there's been no drop-off. So all the talk about, ooh, they don't want the Raptors on TV and stuff, I don't really think it's a concern for them.
Good.
To be honest. You know, the ratings. Yeah, it hasn't been a problem. It's not like Milwaukee's some great TV market either.
Oh, that's another, yeah, you want to talk about. How many people are in Milwaukee? What's the population of Milwaukee? Right? What is it? I have no idea.
2 million?
I'm going to say a couple million tots. I can tell you one thing. If Toronto, as a North American city, Toronto is the same size as Houston, Texas. There's 5 million people in the mega city. So other than New York and Los Angeles and Chicago, which is almost the same, they are in the four hole. Toronto is the fourth biggest city in North America, population-wise. Milwaukee's not even close. So, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's... 2017 population has surprised me. 600,000.
Yeah, not even a million. Mississauga's bigger. Way bigger. Way bigger. Way bigger.
But, you know, this is, I'm sure with the surrounding areas, it's a little bit bigger. But
I've never been. I'd like to go to Milwaukee, though.
2018.
I bet it's really economical
game,
there.
Man. They got it going on.
I bet we could really do well at a Brewers game.
Okay, so like I said, with the I knew it wouldn't be 500,000. It's with the surrounding area and whatever. It's 1,500,000.
Okay.
1.5 million.
Not bad.
31st biggest city in America.
31.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Hey, hey, you want to make it rain like Kawhi? Go to pointsbet.com/grid and open up a PointsBet sports wagering account and enter the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D, and you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet. For example, if you bet the New York Giants -3 and they cover the spread by 7 points, you'll receive 7 times your stake. Wow, this is amazing. These are new, nice new promos we got this week, Gabe. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code
good promos GRID there.
And get your 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000, baby, a dime today. I like that. And there's another one coming up in hour 3 that I'm liking, too. Ooh, I might have to open up an account, buddy, with these kind of promos. Nice.
The Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart right there. I am Gabriel Morenci. So, New York Yankees. So, yeah, it's raining in New York, and it's coming down. It's not pouring right now, but it's been a persistent rain
Gloomy.
For the last, like, 48 hours or something. Whatever. It's always raining here. But just it's continuously raining, and you can't play baseball in this right now. If it was a playoff game or whatever, like, if you absolutely pause, you can get an inning in or two. Like, I don't see how you can play 9 innings. I'm just looking right now. It's not supposed to let up until 10 o'clock tonight.
Have but you seen Yankees the betting card tonight, Gabe? It's horrible. Probably one of the worst betting cards we've had in, I don't know, months? I can't remember. Like, there's very few baseball games and just a hockey game. No basketball till Tuesday. So, yeah, it's tough board. Tough board.
I didn't go to the book today.
You didn't need to.
So, the Yankees playing tonight are supposed to be playing tonight. Who, against the White Sox?
No, Orioles.
Orioles. Supposed to be playing tonight. They just opened up the gates, but it's pouring out. And somebody just tweeted a picture of the field. Sportsnet New York guy just tweeted, John Chandler, just NBC, excuse me, just tweeted a picture. It's all flooded. Like puddles everywhere. Like thick puddles. Yet the Yankees opening up the gate. They're like, oh, gates are open, guys. So Yankee fans are bitching on Twitter here. Like this guy says, yeah, $30 to take the train and to park there. $20 to food for 2 innings of baseball. Sounds like a great time. No, thank you. But the thing is, the Yankees have been pissing people off because they don't like giving the tickets back and stuff, Cam. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They want to make money, right? So they're telling people, oh, yeah, they're playing the game tonight, but it's pouring right now. And New York, Cam, it's not like even Toronto's big. People come from Mississauga to these places, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of stadiums you can just sort of walk to and stuff, but New York is so big, man. Yeah, people, it takes them an hour and a half, 2 hours to get there, and you're going to get there and sit in the rain? I mean, here it's saying it's going to be raining all the way till 10 o'clock tonight.
Another thing is, look at the matchup. They're playing Baltimore. That's an easy game to make up. It's not like, the Twins were still in town or another team. They're in their division. You can make up a doubleheader so quick, so... we'll see what happens there, Gabe. But I got a feeling rainout could be the play if it continues.
It's the old, It's like remember the old doubleheaders in the old days were cool. You say you have the ticket for both games, but nowadays it's just pure greed. So basically, what they tell you is like, oh yeah, and if it's rained out, your ticket will be good for another day. But you know. Some people plan this stuff. They're tourists or, and stuff like that. But it happens a lot. It is what it is. The weather, what can you do, man? You can't play in baseball, really. I mean, the weather sucks. What are you going to do? The weather sucks everywhere. It's May. This isn't normal for May. Like, cold as hell. It's cold. It's wet cold. It's raining. Like, it's bizarro world. It's twisted weather. But I see Erica in the chat. What's up, Erica? It's not as gloomy as it looks behind me. looking behind me, man. It's some serious ass. Like, it looks like it's like Gotham type thing, but it's actually It's dark and gloomy, but we've got a tent that really, quite frankly, only works when it's sunny out. We've got an alternative backdrop that we're going to roll out. I'll have to set it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to break curtains. It.
Nah,
yeah,
don't
I didn't
want
to. I didn't want to break it. I was trying to set it up. I was like, man, I'm going to break this. Cardano's going to freak out. But now I got Cardano. Whoa, how come you never set that backdrop up?
Yeah, true. Yeah, well, you put the new backdrop.
I need roadies.
In. Yeah,
but I'm a host. I need a team. Come down here, set it up, put it behind me.
Don't you got a couple of guys who you got into games? What about Milhouse? What's he doing on the side? You come over, help you out, watch a game. You know, put up the background.
So. I heard you mention June Jones. So what's June Jones, Bolton, Hamilton? Good thing we didn't put that future bet in yet.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to. I got to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to make a difference who coaches that team with the talent they had. Is June Jones a great coach? No, he's going to the XFL. Gave a report out of Houston.
The reporter from Houston says,
yeah, he's joining XFL, Houston franchise. June Jones
He's got bigger commitment problems than Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson.
True.
Like, yeah, June Jones, man, just goes from team to team and like
league to league,
and bolts and whatever. Go to the XFL, June.
Who cares?
I don't even think he's a good coach.
Yeah, like if you went up to me and said, "Wow, the next head coach of the Hamilton Tiger Cats is Orlando Steinhauer," I'd go, "He's better than June Jones. Guy knows the league. He's been there a while. You know, it's like, what's June Jones done really with Hamilton? Not much. You know, the guy came there." I was actually, the big shocker to me was when he brought in Jerry Glanville with that big bell. I thought it was going to be a joke. Like, I've always loved Jerry Glanville, but the defense actually played well under Glanville, which was shocking to me. He was actually, like, when we looked at that hiring game, it was like,
disagree. Wow,
it was good. I'm like, what? These guys are, like, maybe Glanville's just one of those guys that the players just say, yeah, this guy's hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, they bust their ass for him, but June Jones, who cares? Me and you could coach that team and it wouldn't change the over-under wins total. Me, you, and Babano.
Justin Thomas withdrew from the PGA Championship.
That's big. He was 20-1. Yeah, put that one in the wrist. Update too. He was one of the favorites. One of the favorites, Gabe.
Yeah, I'll be swinging the fences with. For the fences with some of the some of those golfers in that 50-1 range.
Well, I really respect your boy Daly, and if he likes Adam Scott at 55-1, that's interesting. The thing is about Adam Scott is he checks off a lot of the boxes, too. He's not a small hitter. He murders the ball when he wants to. Big athletic, strong swing. So the length of the course isn't going to hurt him. His putting is way improved. His short game's good. I don't really think about Adam Scott in that way, but it's weird. He's actually played well in the majors recently, too. Let's remember, going back to it, before Tiger Woods won at the Masters, Adam Scott has really, like, shown up in majors. You know, a lot of top 10s, 20s. Like, he's played well, so... At 55-1, and I respect your buddy's opinion. You know what? Why not swing for the fences? Like Finau, I'm waiting for him to win a tournament. This is the type of course, maybe 40-1. I really worry about his putting, though, but his length won't be a problem. Fleetwood the same way. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. But the two guys, when we had Blewett on, Gabe Koepka at 11, I wish we can get more, but books aren't stupid, but they understand how good he is. And I like Scheifele at 30. Scheifele at 30-1 looks real good to me. He'll be on my top five picks for sure.
So you mentioned it's the calm before the storm right now, even though it is, there's a storm rain right now, but it's the calm before the storm in the sports world. We've got St. Louis and San Jose tonight, game two of the Western Conference Finals. And I see a lot of similarities, Cam. Really, there is. I know the Sharks have been around longer than the Toronto Raptors have, but two teams that have been very good through the regular seasons in the past, two teams that have been called chokers and mocked and laughed at in the past. And two teams that are still standing right now. And also two teams with cool logos, the Shark and the Raptor. Like, so they sort of came in, not at the exact same time, but I see similarities between these two teams. And I legitimately believe this is their year. I think the San Jose Sharks are going to win this series, and they're going to beat the Boston Bruins. Everyone that's played the Bruins, the Leafs didn't match up well with the Bruins. It's not a good matchup for the Leafs. Columbus, they were all right. They had their little shocker getting through, and they hit a wall. Carolina just aren't that good. You know, they're okay, but they're not great, and they don't match up. San Jose are a big team, Cam. San Jose are like Boston, except more talented. Like, I honestly think San Jose will beat them. And how about this for numbers? I know San Jose, man, these guys are scoring goals. They're averaging over four goals a game over the last 13 games. How about this? 11-2 to the over in their last 13 games on home ice. And it's getting crazy now. They were 18-2 in their last 20 games going into game seven. They won 19-2. Then they won game one. The San Jose Sharks are 20-2, Cam, on home ice in their last 22 playoff games. Like, that shark tank, bro. You go there to drown.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Gabe. And, you know, I'm going to take the Blues tonight and tread very lightly. I think it's a good bounce back game. But looking at San Jose play, they're basically, they're fast like Dallas, but they're bigger and tougher. The one thing about Dallas is they weren't very physical with their big guys. Like, you know what I mean? And St. Louis was physical. But watching San Jose, they're very, very fast too, very deep with four lines, and they hit you. It's a real problem because the Blues want to play that physical game like we're tougher than you. And San Jose's like, bring it on. We got Burns. We got other guys. You know what I mean? We're not afraid of you guys. And the St. Louis defensemen looked really slow in the first game. They got exposed, and Binnington didn't play his best. You said it, man. San Jose is scary. I'll tell you one thing. If Boston goes to the final, I think San Jose can beat them. I think that's the thing. I usually would probably take the team from the East, but I think the San Jose Sharks can beat the Boston Bruins if they both get there.
And I think San Jose wins either way. I think they would beat Carolina too.
Yep.
Let me see. What's the what can I get right now? Future.
+165 +165 to win. Not enough. Not enough.
Man, they've really lowered these future markets, Cam, haven't they?
Trust me, I'm pissed. Yeah, I put them in my updates just to for people to know how bad these lines are. They're really they tend to be fleecing us, Gabe. But that's the one thing I've learned about these things. We got to get on them early and play the market accordingly. Because if you wait too long till the final four, you're going to get screwed, right? So, yeah, I'm going to take a shot with the Blues tonight, Gabe, but very dangerous. You're right. SJ Sharkey's playing great pucks right now. And you said it, they're scoring too. The over 5.5 might be worth a look. You know, Binnington lets in goals, and even the Blues got three the last game.
Every game goes over in the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over tonight.
All right, I just looked at StubHub. As I will be in Toronto, Cam, this weekend, buddy. It worked out perfectly. Hey. Toronto Raptors, Milwaukee Bucks, 7:00 Eastern, Sunday night.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
So, guys, the NFL Rookie Football Development Programs begin this week as those who were drafted in the 2019 NFL Draft try to get themselves assimilated into NFL life. And for serious fantasy football enthusiasts as well as NFL bettors, it's time for you to start prepping as well. Roto Experts, they've got you covered. The 2019 NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package includes the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the net. Including Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts. They'll be providing NFL Dynasty season-long betting, best ball, NFL draft content pretty much every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of the type of fantasy football you play, while also providing you with all the data and insight you need to be successful at the betting window. Save 10% now, rotoexperts.com, promo code FNTSY, 10% off promo code FNTSY for the 2019 NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package only at rotoexperts.com.
Thank you very much, Joe Ranieri. That's Joe Ranieri in Miami, Florida. I am Gabriel Renzi, Midtown Manhattan Studio, 34 across the street from Madison Square Garden, where Knick fans are hoping at this time next year that they are still playing basketball. We're down to the final four teams standing right now. Toronto and Milwaukee will tip off on Wednesday. Golden State, Portland on Tuesday night. Let's bring in a former NBA player. He was a Philadelphia 76er, Syracuse Orangemen standout, Team Canada's head coach, Toronto Raptor television analyst, and all-around pal of ours, Mr. Leo Rowdens. Leo, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us, my man. Thanks. How you doing this morning?
I'm great, Gabe. How you doing? Always great to talk to you.
I appreciate your time, Leo. I know it was an exhilarating night last night. So I was kidding. I was watching a broadcast, and so I was watching on TNT, But I was so I watched I got the call after on Twitter with Matt. It was great stuff. But I could see you, and you know, you're into it. You're always looking sharp, Leo. You know, Matt, you know, it's about 3-4 minutes left, and Matt just sort of he was stone cold. He had a stone cold look on his face, and I was thinking to myself, man, the tension in that building right now. Tell us to explain the scene for us. So Leo's doing the game for the Raptors at Feed with Matt Devlin. Does a great job. What was the atmosphere like in the building the last couple of minutes of that game? Because, man, it was tense just watching it on television.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it was crazy all night long. The fans came out, and they were phenomenal. And you come down to the end of the game, and, you know, there's so many – I think the frustrating part for the fans is the Raptors had so many great shots, and they just couldn't get them to go down. But at the end of the game, it was typical of this season. Kyle made big plays at both ends. You know, Kawhi started knocking down his shots. Everything just started coming together. But then you get this missed free throw by Kawhi, and the Sixers have life. Jimmy Butler calls the game, and that's when you could feel the tension. It was unbelievable.
And I was just happy they didn't spot up for a three. That's when I was like, oh, my God, they're going to shoot a three for the win.
Yeah, I mean, in today's game, you're absolutely right. Imagine that, a guy actually got a layup. But, you know, you're sitting there, and from that point on, it was slow motion. Everything from that point on, when Kawhi got the ball at the top of the key, you know, he's dribbling towards me, towards where we're sitting. And I could see he looks up. So you got like 4.2 seconds, but it's an eternity to him. And you know that. You can feel that. It's all of a sudden completely his game. And as he looks at the clock, he knows exactly how much time, what he's got to do, who's guarding him, who's helping, and he sees Embiid coming. He goes headstrong to the corner, outracing Embiid. And Embiid's not sure when he's going to shoot, so he actually leaves his feet a little early. He gets to that corner spot, jumps to it, then jumps high backwards and gets that shot not only up but over Embiid. And when that ball hits the rim, it was unbelievable because it hits. It hits again. It hits again. And then it hits again.
It just sort of sits
there. Before
it
goes down. But I'm telling you, so when it bounced the first time, it goes up, and I'm going, oh, boy. It comes down the second bounce, I'm going, man, this thing's going to go in. It bounces, and with each bounce, you're just going, please. But I just had this crazy feeling that it was going to happen, and when it did, the entire arena just went absolutely bonkers. The whole city went bonkers.
Right, the country, the country, and a great still shot of by the Toronto Sun that really captured it. So how about Drake, guys? I was like, where's Drake? And Drake's not courtside. Drake actually put the Philly gear on Leo and Joe. It's like
the curse is alive and well.
Yeah. The old reverse, man.
Yep.
But you mentioned it, Leo, with the crowd, and it's upset me a little bit. And it's a byproduct of the success, and you know the deal, in which to me, like that, and I love, I got goosebumps after watching the kids in Jurassic Park, you know, black, white, Asian, male, female, Chinese, you know what I mean? Just everything, diversity of the Raptors fan base and the youthness and the passion that these kids have, it's great. But I found at times, with the Raptors' success and the ticket prices being so expensive in the secondary market, Leo, sometimes, you know, you get some of these fat cat Bay Street guys in there, not quite as energetic as they could be to me sometimes, but I thought the crowd was just great last night, so... What about OG? I keep hearing OG's going to be back from Milwaukee. What can you tell us about Anunoby, Leo? Oh, did we lose Leo?
Oh, I think we might have lost him there.
I thought I kind of did for a second there. I can sort of tell, Joe.
Yeah. It went dark, man. It went dark.
Yeah, I was getting great description. Yeah. He was talking about it. Though. Hey, yep.
Wait, you know what? This is a good time to let's hear from the Koreans, shall we?
눈을 뗄 수 없는 명경기가 펼쳐지고 있습니다. 웨터스의 공격. 가솔 레너드에게 시간 떨어집니다. 3초 20. 레너드! 들어! 들어!
찍었습니다. 들어갔어요. 들어갑니다. 와, 시리즈를 이런 샷으로 끝냅니다.
I just can't help but to jump up and down every time I hear that.
Leo, there was the Korean NBA TV call. We got Leo back. There was the Korean call, Leo.
Yeah, I heard that. Actually, ESPN last night played about four or five different language calls of the game, and it was crazy in each one of them.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. So I was asking you as we cut out there, we keep hearing that OG is going to be back or he's close to coming back. Is he going to be ready to go in game one on Wednesday?
You know, I haven't heard much, but my gut is no. I don't think he's the closest, I believe, from experiencing and being around the injury he had or the appendectomy and all that. I would not imagine him being ready before the finals if the Raptors were to get there at best.
So how do you see them matching up? Every matchup is different. Every series is different. Styles make fights. And you know this being a coach, rounds that. It's all about matchups stylistically. So what can we take from the fact that Milwaukee beat them three of the four times this year? I don't know if there was really a sense of urgency in the first couple of games for the Raptors. I think once maybe people didn't play. And speaking to like Coach Nick B-Ball Breakdown, a couple of other people, looking ahead, they were thinking that the Raptors could be pretty successful in a half-court setting, that Milwaukee really feed off a transition so much. From a matchup standpoint, Coach, how are you looking at this, Leo? And what are we going to see here now? What kind of series is it going to be? Like, the Raptors don't want to get into a track meet with these guys, do they?
No, but it's a catch-22. I mean, I think it's going to be a great series. I think the Raptors want to look to push on them, force them to get back. At the same time, you want to take transition away from the Milwaukee Bucks. And honestly, the teams weren't necessarily full rosters in all their meetings this season. The one game that I think is maybe the best indicator, you know, the Raptors first week of January got spanked in San Antonio, just got annihilated. It was a horrible game. And from San Antonio, they went to Milwaukee. And, you know, I did not know what to expect. And again, this is before Marc Gasol. And Jonas Valanciunas wasn't even he was hurt. And the Raptors won in Milwaukee and just played the game the right way. They played tough defensively. And here's the catch. Giannis had a big game, but they were able to control everybody else. And Kawhi Leonard was Kawhi Leonard. He was awesome. And the Raptors got contributions across the board. So I'm excited about this matchup. I'm a little concerned about, you know, you only have, you know, you're playing every other day. And the Raptors being an older team, that's a concern. But when Nick Nurse made a great comment about the playoffs. He said, you know, we go through growth. And he felt, which I completely agree with, that Orlando matchup was the toughest first-round matchup. That's the toughest team you could have played based on who they are and how hot they were coming into the playoffs. And then you're playing the Sixers, and everybody is saying, hey, Sixers, best starting lineup in the NBA. And they got length and quickness. And that's something that both Orlando and the Sixers shared. A lot of long guys, athletic guys, that create all kinds of problems for you. And Milwaukee is a different animal. I mean, you got Giannis, who's a freak. But all the other guys, it's not that same kind of length and athleticism that they've been facing for two rounds. So I think that a lot of guys that have struggled in the postseason are going to have more of a comfort level in that Milwaukee series. So, your main guys, you know what they can do. But your supporting cast, which you're going to need because of the frequency of games, I think you're going to become much more integral and much more involved again. And be a bigger factor than they were, especially in the Sixers series. So I think it's going to be a great series. A lot of people, you know, based on what Milwaukee's done, think they're just going to stomp all over the Raptors. I don't see it that way. Quite frankly, the Raptors have shown in the playoffs that they're not only a good defensive team, they're an elite defensive team. You look at their numbers over the first two series. Milwaukee hasn't seen that. And it's going to be very different playing the Raptors and their physicality and toughness defensively. So, like I said, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun series.
I'm fired up, man. I'm going to be there. I wish I was there last night, Leo, but I can't be everywhere at once. But I will be there next Sunday, Game 3. Are you doing a game next?
Sounds
What's
great,
your
man.
Schedule?
Look forward to, you got to say. you got to say hello. Look forward to seeing you. I haven't seen the actual TV schedule yet, as far as what we're doing, but I'll be at every game. So either way,
I'll find you, buddy.
Studio guy or calling the guy.
I'll find you. You got anything on the way out here? Portland. What do you think of Portland? Golden State. I think the Blazers got a puncher's chance too.
Oh, yeah, they do. And, you know, the fact that I did not think they were going to win it in Denver, I'll give you that. I mean, they've shown me more and more as the playoffs have gone. You got to be impressed with what Terry Stotts has done, and their backcourt has just matured. They've always been explosive, but now they have a maturity to their game and a toughness that really is special. Golden State's going to be a tough out, though. I mean, those guys are champions. They've shown it. Taking Houston out the way they did it. So my money's still on Golden State. You know, until somebody beats them, I can't go against them.
You know, Leo, I also said, too, throughout the year, congratulations, Nick Nurse, and the whole, Raptors organization for managing Kawhi Leonard's minutes. We keep hearing about load management, but it was that load management that allowed him to have enough legs under him to be able to shoot that shot and continue on here. So I think load management's a reality of the NBA moving forward, whether we want it or we don't.
Well, you know, people forget that this guy played 9 games last year. And Kawhi Leonard, you listen to him talk. I mean, he was scared that his career was done. It wasn't like this guy sitting out having a good time. He was terrified that he couldn't play the game he loved anymore. And, you know, Raptors have director of sports science, Alex McKechnie, was absolutely brilliant. And the minute, I'll be honest with you, I called Alex. He's a friend of mine. And as soon as the Raptors got him, I said, "You're the most important guy in this organization right now, because you're gonna make him better."
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, I see that somebody figured out how to eat for free at Kentucky Fried Chicken for one full year before they got nailed.
Really?
But we'll get to that. Yeah, it's a good idea. We'll see if it works. We'll get to that after. We got Big Man on Campus going to join us at about 6:09 or so. So after the update, it'd be a good time. I guess now Julio from Chicago is on hold. Let's get Julio in here. We got a couple of minutes for this top of the hour, and Cam gets us caught up to date. Julio, big card, Julio. Can't be too big today because it's not a hell of a lot going on. And I'll tell you guys, I don't see how they're going to get this Yankee game in, or it's going to be delayed. Like, it's pouring.
Versus Baltimore, too. Doubleheader. Cancel the damn game. Come on. Let's go. Use our
Julio. What's up, Julio?
Gentlemen, congrats to the Raptors. I was, for some dumb reason here in the States, I couldn't find the game on national radio, so I picked up the TSN Ottawa 1200 call, and it was terrific. Really enjoyed the broadcast. Color analyst was as honest as any analyst I've ever heard. There was a stretch, I want to say the Sixers had a 7-0 run coming out of a timeout. The color analyst broke it down like a genius. It was spectacular. Before the timeout, he says, "All right, if the Raptors don't pressure the defense, the Sixers are going to go on a run," and it was, you know, textbook. So it was a very enjoyable call.
16-0 run. I swear, it's always been a problem with the Raptors. Going back to the Dwayne Casey days, even in the old days, they were always terrible coming out of timeouts. And yesterday, same thing, terrible coming out of timeouts. And it's been a problem with this team. Hell, even Kawhi Leonard turned it over, trying to inbound it once. But what do you got tonight, Julio? Massive card here tonight. So what do you got?
No, I actually hate the card. So tonight I've got some leans. I'm leaning Houston. I'm going to go with Houston -153 against a pretty decent Detroit Tigers squad over the last couple of days. No score first inning. Seattle, Oakland at -105. And I'll even do under 9 in Athletics Mariners tonight. White Sox, Indians. First five under 5.5. No score in the first inning at -110. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on the hockey game tonight. I'm leaning SJ Sharkey at -135. I'd love to get your take. No score first period at the even money. No score, or excuse me, under 1.5 goals first period at even money. And then West Brom, Aston Villa tomorrow, English Championship, over 2.5 goals, guys.
All right, Julio. He finds a way.
Yeah.